Hello. Today I'm going to focus on IRS forms and publications once again, and I'm going to be looking at cancellation of debt income, specifically IRS publication 4681, canceled debts, foreclosures, repossessions, and abandonments for individuals, and IRS form 982, reduction of tax attributes due to discharge of indebtedness, and Section 1082 Basis Adjustment.
Welcome to Tax Justice Warriors, the podcast that celebrates the work of low-income taxpayer clinics, focuses on tax controversy work, and looks at related issues in tax news. I'm your host, William Schmidt, the director of the Low-Income Taxpayer Clinic at Kansas Legal Services.
Publication 4681 deals with cancellation of debt. Cancellation of debt income is a possibility for people who have loans canceled because a person may not be able to pay them back because of reasons like insolvency or disability. The publication gives definitions for qualifying debts, being personally liable, or an applicable entity, but I wanted to provide some examples like car loans, student loans, and mortgages. Those may fall under cancellation of debt income, but generally, if you're receiving a 1099-C, then you need to be looking at whether that is cancellation of debt income that needs to be included on your tax return. Now, to begin with, publication 4681 has quite a bit listed in there. I'm not going to be covering everything in depth. There is quite a bit to unpack in publication 4681. It starts with canceled debt, listing the general rules, touching on Form 1099-C, discounts and loan modifications, sales or other dispositions, such as foreclosure and repossessions, abandonments, or stockholder debt. Then it moves on to exceptions. These are items that would not be included in cancellation of debt, so a person should not be receiving a Form 1099-C. These are gifts, bequests, devises, and inheritances. Those are items that should not be included as cancellation of debt income. Student loans that are forgiven for public service, those should not be treated as cancellation of debt income. And then it talks on the deductible debt, price reduced after purchase, and home affordable modification program. If any of these apply to you, definitely read them in depth. I'm not going to be covering them. Then there are items that are exclusions. These exclusions are items that make a canceled debt non-taxable. So just going down the list, bankruptcy, insolvency, qualified farm indebtedness, qualified real property business indebtedness, or qualified principal residence indebtedness. These are various items that may be non-taxable for the cancellation of debt income, so it is worth looking through those to be sure that they qualify. So one example is bankruptcy. It speaks about Title 11 bankruptcy cases, but people are familiar with the specific chapters, such as Chapters 7, 11, 13, possibly 12. Those might apply to you. If you are needing to report an exclusion that was listed in your bankruptcy, you would use Form 982, and it gives instructions within the paragraph right here. To show that your debt was canceled in a bankruptcy case and is excluded from income, attach Form 982 to your federal income tax return and check the box on line 1A. Lines 1B through 1E don't apply to this Title 11 bankruptcy case. Enter the total amount of debt canceled in your Title 11 bankruptcy case on line 2. You must also reduce your tax attributes in Part 2 of Form 982 as explained under reduction of tax attributes later. So those reduction of tax attributes also lists qualified principal residence indebtedness, bankruptcy and insolvency, qualified farm indebtedness, qualified real property business indebtedness. Then the next chapters are Chapter 2, foreclosure and repossessions, and Chapter 3, abandonments. So as you can see, looking at a variety of these pieces in publication 4681, quite a bit of it has to do with real estate. So if you have property that has been foreclosed, definitely take time to read through this publication. The main piece I want to point out on the chapter on foreclosure is that a person may receive both Form 1099-C cancellation of debt, and Form 1099-A, acquisition or abandonment of secured property. So it may be necessary to use both forms to determine the gain or loss on the property, and that will help you to determine what needs to be listed on your tax return based on that property. So some people may think that after a foreclosure that there would be nothing reportable on the tax return, that they're done with the property. But if there is a gain following a lender that acquires an interest in the property in the foreclosure or repossession, then it may be necessary to report that gain on your tax return. So it is worth reading through this publication, looking at the instructions on what to do regarding a gain or loss for that repossession or foreclosure. I wanted to speak specifically about insolvency with regard to cancellation of debt income. I had a person who recently contacted me trying to deal with a person who had cancellation of debt income. This was a veteran who was 100% disabled and had some loans canceled. Then this wound up being a large amount of income that was listed on the tax return. And so I was saying that it is worth looking at the degree that the person was insolvent, that insolvency may reduce or remove that cancellation of debt income from a person's tax return. What I would say to begin with is look in publication 4681. A person is insolvent immediately before the cancellation of debt to the extent that the total of all their liabilities was more than the fair market value of all of their assets immediately before the cancellation of debt. For purposes of determining insolvency, assets include the value of everything owned, including assets serving as collateral for debt and exempt assets which are beyond the reach of creditors under the law, such as interest in a pension plan and the value of a retirement account. Liabilities include the entire amount of recourse debt, the amount of non-recourse debt that isn't in excess of the fair market value of the property that is security for the debt, and the amount of non-recourse debt in excess of the fair market value of the property subject to the non-recourse debt to the extent non-recourse debt in excess of the fair market value of the property subject to the debt is forgiven. Now that is quite a bit of information. It is worth looking at publication 4681 to read that through. But what I would say is just to be sure that if you are doing an insolvency worksheet, to note that it is worth thinking through what were the fair market value of the assets and then the liabilities around the time of the cancellation of the debt. So this may be over a year before that the person is thinking about it. They need to think about that time period and not be looking at today. So just to be clear that it is not a worksheet that is done with today's assets and liabilities. So once you have gone through the insolvency worksheet, on reporting that insolvency exclusion, attach Form 982 to the federal tax return, and on Form 982, check the box on line 1B. Then on line 2, include the smaller of the amount of the debt canceled or the amount by which the person was insolvent immediately before the cancellation. Use that insolvency worksheet to help calculate the extent being insolvent immediately before the cancellation of debt. Then the person must also reduce their tax attributes in Part 2 of Form 982 as explained under reduction of tax attributes later in the publication 4681. So based on that amount of insolvency, that may exclude all of the cancellation of debt income. It may exclude a portion of it, but it can significantly reduce that cancellation of debt income and likely any liability that may result because there was no withholding related to that cancellation of debt income. Most likely a person, they can include it with an original tax return, but most likely they would need to be including that with an amended tax return because they did not know about using it the first time. They either had a large liability or were audited. And then there was a large tax liability based on this cancellation of debt income that they're having to take care of. So most likely, including Form 982 with an amended tax return. There's quite a bit involved with cancellation of debt income. It's something that people don't think about. They think because they had the debt canceled that they're in a good situation, that they may not have any problems associated with it, but there may be income that is taxable, that is reportable, or it may be non-taxable and including some way of taking care of it, such as bankruptcy or insolvency, that can reduce it. So these are definitely considerations to think about, especially when you are dealing with a client who has a large amount of cancellation of debt income and a tax liability associated with it that you're having to deal with. I hope this is helpful to you. Thank you for listening.
Thank you for listening to Tax Justice Warriors. We have a Patreon page if you'd like to support this podcast. Providing monetary support for this podcast helps with expenses like equipment or travel to tax conferences. Supporting this podcast through Patreon comes with rewards, so check out our Patreon page. Please rate or review this podcast because positive reviews help get more people to know this podcast exists. The views expressed on this podcast are not official opinions of the IRS, the Low Income Taxpayer Clinic program, or the employers of the people who spoke on this program. Your tax situation is unique, so do not take the statements on this program as tax or legal advice. Consult with your own tax professional to provide you with specific advice on your situation. Tune in next time on Tax Justice Warriors for another interesting tax discussion.